Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's better over here.
AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free. All on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
The Five-Star Zone with Rico Beard.
Welcome to a special edition of the Five-Star Zone. I'm your host, Rico Beard. Harold Sheldon from the Big Ten Network. Joining me, Michigan State preview. The big game is Saturday. Michigan State traveling to Ann Arbor to take on the Wolverines. Both came off a bye week, but they had different results, Harold. Michigan State goes out and kind of shocks the world in an upset victory over Iowa at home. Michigan goes on the road, losing 21-7 to Illinois. But now they're going to play. And as they say, you throw the records out, and it's the backyard brawl and all types of cliches. Here, let's just jump into this game. What do you see happening? You know, what would be the keys to this game on Saturday?
I think it's similar to what it was for both teams last week. Aiden Childs had time to throw. He was able to make plays when he had time. And Luke Altmyer, kind of similar, where, you know, we talked about last week how, you know, Illinois was the worst team in the Big Ten in terms of allowing sacks. He only got sacked once. He was able to keep plays alive. He ran for a touchdown, threw for a touchdown. And, you know, Michigan couldn't make enough plays knowing that their offense was limited. So, you know, they pretty much had to play perfect on defense, and they couldn't. So if they can't pressure Childs, I think he's got time to make some throws downfield. Will Johnson questionable for this game? So opportunity should be there in the air.
Well, it's funny that you say that. How in the world did Illinois only get one sack? Because, you know, going to this game, I'm listening to you like, man, it sounded like it was a revolving door. Did they do something differently, or was it just, you know, did Illinois do something different, or was Michigan just not hitting home?
I think it was a bit of both. It seems like Michigan was still creating pressure, but I think they did a good job of just making sure that, you know, they put him on the move. Ball got out quicker. It wasn't like I'm going to look around, see if I can find somebody. It was, if it's not there, just get rid of it, throw short. It wasn't a lot of deep shots. And it seemed like they were content on playing a field position game, knowing that their defense would be able to limit Michigan. So I don't think they tried to take as many chances as they would have normally.
All right, and Michigan State, they come out there and – I don't know what was more impressive, the fact that, you know, they basically stopped Johnson from running the ball except for that one run, or Michigan State was able to run the ball. It was like, okay, where did you find these five offensive linemen? Because nobody's seen them all season.
Yeah, the run game for me was by far the biggest surprise, because we saw they couldn't run it at all against Oregon. They kept getting pushed, like line of scrimmage kept moving backwards. Ohio State, they couldn't run the ball. You know, we've seen it over time and time again. And Jonathan Smith wants to run the ball. That's what he did at Oregon State, but it didn't seem like he had the guys to do it. Whatever they worked on in the bye week, it clearly worked, because they were able to run it with not just, you know, Lynch Adams. Carter got going. I saw they used both of the freshmen for a little bit. So Childs had a nice scramble where he made a dude miss, and he got 51 yards on the ground. So the fact that they were able to run for over 200 yards against a good Iowa defense that allowed one rushing touchdown all year. Like, that was really, really surprising.
Now, is this something you think that they can continue going up against this Michigan D-line? Because that's the strength of the team, is their D-line. It's just, that's been the one constant for the University of Michigan.
They're going to have to. They're going to have to be able to run it because, as we talked about, that front is real. We do not want to see a Aiden Childs, third and eight, third and nine pass rush drill, and you got Josiah Stewart coming around one side, Derek Moore coming on the other side with Mason Graham pushing in the middle. Like, that's a recipe for disaster. They have to make sure they can get in situations where it's third, two, three, and four. It can't be eight, nine, and ten. So even if you aren't having success early running it, I think you still have to run it. I think you still have to try it and take advantage of their aggressiveness. Like, I think we saw them run a lot outside. Seems like it was a lot of outside zone both ways. I think that's the way you kind of have to go. You shouldn't run it up the middle. I think they learned their lesson from that. We saw a lot of third and shorts in games past where they try to run it up the middle, couldn't get it. They bounced a lot of them. It looks like they kind of went off tackle or outside zone, as I said. And I think that's the way they're going to have to run the ball if they're going to be successful.
Now, as far as running the ball, how much do you figure – we talked about the running backs, but how much do you figure Michigan State involves Aiden Childs as a runner?
Just selectively. Yeah, I think selectively they will. I think he's good for a couple of scrambles, but I think when you get in a situation, if it's third and five or third and six, I wouldn't be shocked to see some QB draws. I wouldn't be shocked to see it around the goal line as well. But, you know, as we saw against Oregon, that doesn't always, you know, prove successful. Right. So got to make sure you take care of the ball there if you're Childs. But I think you have to use the run in as many ways as possible. And I think it's an aggressive Michigan defense. We know they like to blitz. So misdirection stuff, if it's jet sweeps, if it's, you know, Childs, you know, doing a draw or it looked like he's going to go back to pass and then takes off. Like, just try to take advantage of that aggressive play that Michigan likes to bring and catch him flat-footed. I think they have to be selective when they do it, though. You don't want him taking too many hits.
All right. I'm talking with Harold Sheldon from the Big Ten Network. Harold, you talk about Michigan being aggressive. Now, do you change that any if Will Johnson cannot play the All-American cornerback for Michigan?
I almost wonder if you have to be more aggressive because if you don't
get – You got Nick Marsh on the other side.
Right. And then that's going to be an issue for sure. And as we saw, even my Torrey Foster, like, they both had 100 yards last week against Iowa. And so I think the big thing there is if he's not healthy, I don't know if you could just sit back and have, you know, dink and dunk because, you know, those receivers are better. If Childs has time to throw, then I think they should be able to move the ball very successfully. I think it's you have to rattle him. You have to, you know, send a bunch of stuff his way, try to confuse him. You know, I don't know if just sitting back is the key. Now, I guess you could try it early, and if you're only doing it with four and you're successful with four and you don't have to blitz, then so be it. But I think if you do that early on and you see it's not working, you might have to up that aggressiveness.
Yeah, because I saw they blitzed 56% of the time when Illinois dropped back to pass. So just saying, Nick Marsh, you know, is really emerging as a star. You really want to leave him one-on-one with some corner out there that's not named Will Johnson.
And they love to take shots, as we see. Like, Childs has no problem throwing it downfield 15, 20, 25 yards. He did it with success against Iowa. And it seemed like for whatever reason he didn't have a connection with Foster when Marsh was out, but those two seemed to be on the same page last week.
Yeah, because the funny thing is, because people are like, oh, well, you know, Foster's like, hey, guys, Montori Foster's been open all season long. I mean, from the game.
He's been overthrown.
Right, it's just been overthrown. Like, you can go back and view all the Spartan games. It's like, man, there's a missed touchdown. Wide open. I mean, I go back to the Boston College game, yep. And somehow he got 10 yards behind the safety, and you overthrow him. And it was just like, okay, man, if you two ever get on the same page, it looks like they are. Let's flip this over now. Talk about the Michigan offense going against the Michigan State defense. Now, the Michigan State defense came out, held Caleb Johnson to 98 yards. Second time all year he's been under 100 yards. And for most of the time, he had 23 rushing yards. I'm not discounting the one play for 75 yards, but that was one breakdown. Other than that, He had nothing. He was better as a receiver coming out the backfield than he was actually carrying the ball. Can that defense, because let's face it, we don't know who the Michigan quarterback is going to be, Harold. But if they can't, I mean, 90% of their offense is running the ball. I mean, the wide receiver room has like 287 yards total. Nick Marsh has more than that in two games. So
yep.
Is it simply if you're Michigan, do you have to come up with ways to pass the ball? And if you're Michigan State's defense, you know what? We're going to take a page out of Washington. We're stopping the run and in Illinois, we're going to stop the run until you show us you can do something differently.
See, if it was me, I honestly would go back to Orgy because it seems like Michigan at least has a better chance in a game where they don't turn the ball over. And that's what the case against USC and against Minnesota. Even though the games were ugly, they didn't give the ball away to the other team. They didn't put their defense in bad spots, as we saw against Illinois and against Washington, when they're getting short fields and, you know, the pass defense hasn't been as good. So all it takes is one play for you to give up six. If you can punt and make Michigan State go 75 yards, like, I would much rather do that. But if they're going to go with Jack Tuttle, then I think they're going to have to focus on the run even more because he's been the most off-target quarterback in the Big Ten. Like, more than Cade McNamara, like, more than Childs, like, more than some of these other quarterbacks. He's been the most off-target quarterback statistically in the conference, and the turnovers have been a huge issue.
Now, Sherrone Moore's come out and it wasn't a ringing endorsement, but said Tuttle's our guy basically until we find something better. He's our guy going into practice this week. Any chance we see Davis Warren, or is that ship sailed?
I would be surprised if they went back with him, considering it's been, what, since week three since he's played. I feel like it would just be the Tuttle orgy. Maybe it's both. Who knows? But I would, if I'm a Michigan fan, I think I would just roll the dice and try to see if you could just win an ugly, low-scoring line of scrimmage game. And, you know, kind of similar to how it was in 2012, where it was 12-10 and it was four field goals, and you just didn't give the ball away to the other team. Because even though Tuttle is a better threat throwing the ball, outside of Colston Loveland, who are you throwing to? You know, Samaj Morgan's their leading receiver. He's got 17 catches on the year. No, that's 19 less than what Loveland has. So I would much rather lean on my strength. Khalil Mullins, we know, is really hard to tackle. Donovan Edwards, if he can break a tackle in their space, we know he can take it the distance. I would much rather rely on that. And then you get in short yardage stuff, and you got Orgy and Mullins, and you don't know exactly who's getting the ball. It's not a cute way to play. It's not a fancy way to play. But at this point, you're kind of just putting off for dear life, and you're just trying to win a game.
And if you're Michigan State's defense, I mean, how do you combat this running game? Is it simply eight in the box, single coverage on your receivers and Loveland, and you just take your chances that way? Because like I said, what they did to Iowa, it just seemed like they said, Kay McNamara has to beat us. We don't think that he can. If he can, then the coaches will take all the blame. But we don't think that that's going to happen.
Yeah, I think that's exactly what it was. And that's what we talked about last week. We said that Michigan State should just sell out on the run. And if K beats you over the top, so be it. And they dug themselves a hole. Michigan State led by 12 at the half. And Iowa never had the ball with a chance to take the lead after that. Because anytime they would score, Michigan State would go back and score. And they just kept trading punches at that point. But Michigan State already had the lead. So if you got a chance to sell out again, get a lead, make Michigan play with their offhand, which they don't want to do, then I think that leaves you in really good shape. And I was really surprised, and I guess pleasantly surprised, to see how good that run defense was, considering how Oregon was able to run it against them, Ohio State was able to run it against them. But again, those are dual threat teams. That's Dylan Gabriel with a bunch of receivers. That's Will Howard with a bunch of receivers. Right. Iowa doesn't have that, and Michigan doesn't have that. And so if I'm Michigan State, I would absolutely see if one of those quarterbacks could beat me over the top. And not with Loveland. Like, it has to be a Tyler Morris. It's got to be a Samaj Morgan. It's got to be somebody like that. And if I lose that way, so be it. But you can't beat me with your strength if I know that's what you're going to do.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems kind of funny because, I mean, if I'm Sherrone Moore, I just kind of go the old Florida system with Chris Leak and Tim Tebow, where I'm going to rotate the two quarterbacks in, and yeah, I'm tipping my hand, but maybe that's the best of both worlds where, you know, when you get it down into the red zone, it's just going to be straight up Alex Orji. Other than that, I'm going to roll out Tuttle and see what I can get from him. How quickly do you think Tuttle gets the hook if things go south?
Ooh, that's a good question. I'd be surprised if it wasn't quick. Yeah, I'd be really surprised if it wasn't quick. I mean, as we saw with the in the Washington game, you know, Orji struggled 2-3 drives, and it was like, all right, that's it. We got to go a different way. If it's a situation where, you know, they get in the hole, Michigan State gets up 10-0 or 14-0 or something, and Michigan can't move the ball or he's turned it over a couple times, I don't know if you have a choice. Like, I don't think you could just sit in there and continue to see this dude give the ball away.
Well, see, to me, like, if Michigan jumps up by double, whoever to me gets up by double digits first, if Michigan gets up by double digits, then that's when I switch to Orji. And this is going to be a steady run. We're going to play keep away. We're going to play the clock game. And you won't be able to score on us unless you get a big play. I'm going to get onto that later. If Michigan State goes up double digits, then I guess at that point, you're forced to stick with Tuttle, because if you put Orji in the game, you're one-dimensional. And especially depending on how much time is left and how big that lead is, can you score 2-3 touchdowns to get back into the game if you're just methodically running the ball? USC was the perfect storm because it was less than a touchdown. So you didn't have to get out of what you really wanted to do. But if you're up, if you're down by 17, you're going to have to throw that ball, and that's not Orji's forte. And then the reason why I said that, because I got some – you always have stats, but I got a stat for you. Unless you
right.
know, I got two stats. But one, Michigan, let me make sure I get this right. Michigan's defense, they blitz a lot. The downside to that is Michigan has given up 76 plays of 10 yards or more this season. On the flip side, Michigan State has connected on 69 plays of 10 yards or more. That tells me it's feast or famine. You blitz, you better get home, because if you miss, it's going to end up being a big play.
Yep. And not only that, I mean, you can even go to the 20-yard plays. Like, Michigan State's got 30 of those, you know, and they're in the top half of the Big Ten in that. And, you know, a lot of those are, you know, because of Aiden Giles and his ability to scramble out of pressure, find a guy on the run. Yeah, if you don't get home, like, there's going to be a lot of open space for him and for those receivers, as we've seen in the Maryland game, as we saw last week against Iowa. The receivers could certainly make plays. So, yeah, if they don't get home and get him on the ground and rattle him, then I think that defense could be in a lot of trouble, because not only the big plays, but just the pass defense in general has really, really struggled. And that's something that we didn't see coming at all.
Right. So, I mean, no Will. And if you dial up the pressure, and I mean, you saw Brett Bielema complain to the refs and said, hey, they're grabbing, they're holding. And after that first non-call penalty, they got hit with a lot of PIs in that game, uncharacteristically seen that Michigan gets caught with. So, also the other stat that I have for you, see, I knew you already knew that stat. Maybe you don't know this.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This isn't a game that's great for first-time head coaches on either side. Michigan State has two first-time head coaches that's actually won this game. Michigan has none since Benny Oosterbaum.
Yep.
That was the last. You already knew. See,
I had that one. You beat me to the punch. I was absolutely going to bring that up in the something has to give category. Like you said, you know, Nick Saban, Mel Tucker, the only two first-time head coaches to beat Michigan. I think it was 2-18, I think, is the record there. And then, yeah, seven straight Michigan coaches lost their first game to Michigan State. So,
I mean, the closest was Jim Harbaugh with trouble with the snap.
Yep.
So, okay. All right.
Yeah, something's got to give. Now, you're all over it.
And I'm just trying to impress you. That's all. So what do you think happens in this game?
I think Michigan State wins late. Jonathan Kim is the hero once again. Just like 2012 game also on Big Ten Network. It was the last time that game was on Big Ten Network. Field goal wins it. I think Jonathan Kim walks it off late.
So Jonathan Kim, because both teams have
both kickers are really good.
Yeah, see, I got MSU winning, but I do think that it's going to be a double-digit game. I think that if they can get ahead, I wonder – Michigan seems to be a house of cards. I mean, it's a lot going on, and you just wonder how much will the players still keep going and keep fighting and playing, how much pride would be on the line. And I think for Michigan State, I think their pride would just kind of swell. I got it as a 10-point game. I think they're going to win. I think they're going to win by 10 points. So,
wouldn't shock me.
I'll take either way. I'll be honest.
Yeah,
with you. But looking at this, because Michigan's offense has been consistent. And every week we try to say, well, maybe this, maybe that. You came out the bye week, which was the biggest time that you'll get non-preseason. And the only thing that changed was you threw it deep on the first play. Other than that, man, it's like you just throwing stuff against the wall, hoping that something sticks. I'm not a big fan of rotating quarterbacks. I'm not. I've never been when it was Michigan State. I've never been with any team because it's not a recipe for success. But it may be the only thing that Michigan could do to really be successful because you would force Michigan State to change up their defense. But I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in any of the quarterbacks. And Harold, as you know, as a quarterback, when you're constantly looking over your shoulder, wondering when am I going to get pulled, you do one of two things. Either you go into your shell and you're super conservative, or you're out there trying to be a cowboy and you're just throwing caution to the wind. Neither are a recipe for success. That's why I think the pressure breaks, and who's ever out there, whether it's Tuttle, whether it's Orgy, they try to do something that they're really not comfortable doing. And I think it's that mistake. Now, for Michigan State, don't get me wrong. Guys, you know, forget about the hat that I'm wearing. If Aiden Childs comes out there and is just turning the ball over and fumbling, especially if Aiden Childs fumbles or throws an interception and sets Michigan up in their own in the red zone, you're not beating them. Michigan in the red zone, that's money in the bank. That's Khalil Mullings' time. That's touchdown Michigan. That's we're going for it on all four downs. We're not kicking a field goal because I don't think, especially early in this game, you're going to see a lot of field goals. I think you're going to see teams going for it because you want to be the one to get that edge. You turn the ball over. You give Michigan easy opportunities. They're going to absolutely take advantage of that. And then that's when you're going to see Aiden Childs play hero ball. And that's when he gets into trouble because he tries it too much. Against Iowa, He settled down. He had one pick. He should have had two, but he then settled down. And you kind of saw that, you know, in the Boston College game where he settled down in the fourth quarter. You saw that in the Maryland game. It took him time before he finally settles down. Crowd, if you let the Michigan crowd get into this, it's going to be at night. I don't know. If he turns it over early, he's going to get shaken, and Michigan can absolutely win this game. It really boils down to me, who turns the ball over less and where the turnovers happen. Because if you give either team the short field, and let me say this too, if you're Michigan State, as good as Jonathan Kim is, and even Coach Smith mentioned this, Jonathan Smith, way too many field goals.
Way too many.
Way too many.
Can't kick six. That right. You can't. That's not a recipe for success. Seven.
He missed one.
Right. He missed one, right.
Kicking seven field goals is a failure to me. It means that you're not getting the job done. You should only be kicking maybe three, four at the most, but you left touchdowns on the field. Bellings kind of alligator-armed one of those passes that Childs threw. You got to score. And for some reason, that's the bugaboo. It's like they're allergic to the red zone. If they score on a big play, it works. But if they get down to the red zone, it's just like, all right, well, how many plays before you go out there and either turn the ball over or you got to kick a field goal?
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right on that. And I think the biggest thing for Michigan State, even in the last two games, like Childs has only turned it over one time each. And I feel like he's going to give it up. We've seen that against every FBS opponent. He didn't do it against Prairie View, even though he had a pick dropped in that one too. But every FBS game he's played, he's turned it over at least once. So I would be surprised if he didn't turn it over in this game. But each team has 15 turnovers. And you know, Auburn's the only power conference team that's got more. So, as you said, who turns it over to the fewest? Where do the turnovers happen? If it's, you know, if it winds up being an arm punt and, you know, the other team has to go 70 yards, so be it. But right. If that's a situation where you're turning it over inside your own 35, your own 20, and it's a short field, I mean, that might be all it takes, because I would be surprised if this game is high scoring.
All right. Anything else, Harold? Any other stats you got for me?
Nah, I think we hit on all the big ones. I think Michigan State's got the better quarterback in this game. Usually that's the recipe for success when the teams are pretty even. If he's able to get time, I think guys will be open and the plays should be there to be made. But Michigan's got four dudes in the top 15 in the Big Ten in terms of pressures. So it ain't just, oh, we got a double one dude. They got a bunch of them. So right. If they get home, quick, it's a problem.
We talked about this on the show on Thursday. Who needs this game more? Not who wants to win. Who needs this game more?
I would think Michigan needs it more. This isn't the way that the season was supposed to go for them. You start the season number 9 in the poll. You know, people are thinking, oh, well, if you lose to Texas and Ohio State, maybe you get Oregon, USC, you still got a chance to make the playoff. You can't miss a bowl game after winning the national title. And considering they still got Oregon, Indiana, Ohio State left after this, it's certainly trending that way. And just from a future standpoint, I think even if Michigan State loses, you still got Purdue and Rutgers at home later. Maybe you pull off an upset against Indiana. We'll see. But considering what Michigan's got, like, this is a game they can't afford to drop.
All right. He's Harold Sheldon. I'm Rico Beard. You've been watching the 5-Star Zone, the Michigan-Michigan State preview game. We will be back. Harold, you want to join me for the breakdown of the game later?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's do that. Hey, guys, right. Thanks for watching. We will be back after the game. Until then, enjoy, have fun, be safe. You've been watching the 5-Star Zone.
Did you know that VA New England Healthcare provides the very best medical care for our nation's heroes? Did you or a loved one serve this great country? You might be eligible for free healthcare. Find out right now by calling 844-VA-CARES. That's 844-VA-CARES. Or visit the VA website at vacares.us. Look, if you or a loved one served this country, get the healthcare you earned and deserve.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.